technology, mate.
Hi there, Edward Joseph, your digital doctor as usual. Let's get technical a little bit.
Let's get technical.
You don't call the races, do you? Or you don't actually, you know, or call fighting?
You look more like a race caller than me, with that hat on and all that.
Keep my head warm.
Look, all you good people out there, we've been talking about the problems in running modems and things on ARQs, COM 3 and 4 and all those kinds of things, and why should you stick with COM 1s and 2s, and maybe we seem like doomsday prophets here, but no, there are also solutions to all these threats and awfully bad news things that we come up with here. Now, you can actually, believe it or not, use your computer with COM 3 and COM 4, and there's really no dramatic secret about it. The problem is that you must have enough interrupt assignments for your cards for COM3 and COM4. So what you're basically trying to do is, I mentioned previously that when you try to use more than two COM ports, they're usually organized so that COM1 and COM3 share a common interrupt and 2 and 4 share an interrupt, namely IRQ4 and IRQ3 respectively. Now, extra interrupts do exist, and I can see David Yamuni removing some of them off this some jumpers here off a card that I brought in, just to show some of these not so technical people here what a 16-bit card looks like. Now,
listeners, can you see it now?
Yes, yeah, have a look. Yeah, it's really cool.
Now we can see that little bit extra down here, right? You see that little bit there?
No, I don't see it. That
little bit down here, that slot, that extra little bit of slot, no, you can't see
it. I'm staring at the radio, I can't see it.
I'll throw it over there.
You're putting a 16-bit card in an 8-bit slot, so it's
Rita's got it, that's
right. You're putting a 16-bit card in a
16-bit slot, that's right.
Very exciting card.
It's longer than an 8-bit card.
It's nearly as embarrassing as that IBM event attempt.
The exciting thing about that, though, is
The 27C256 EEPROM.
No. How did you know?
I used to sell these babies.
Okay, look, the point is that basically that little bit of extra length on your 16-bit ISA slots is what makes it basically 16-bit card, which is rightfully, Rita knew the answer. She knows the difference between an 8-bit card and a 16-bit card. PCI and EISA, why not? But what it's all about is actually that little bit down the bottom here, and you can see Rita's had problems probably with her COM ports and modems more than she probably cares to remember. That little extra bit not only allows the card to have 16-bit data access to get more information quicker into and out of the card, but the magic thing is that little bit of circuit board there actually has the signals for additional interrupts. That's
how did that happen? Why did they put it on the end of an Ethernet?
Yeah, well, no, it's not Ethernet. That's actually a video card that we brought in, and half the bits are missing because I wouldn't let David and Duncan and if Steve was here or anybody else play with these toys that were actually of any use to anybody. But the point is basically that, yes, if you could get a 16-bit communications port card or serial card, you could actually use the additional interrupts, like, for example, interrupts 10, 11, 12, 15, etc., instead of just being bound up with interrupts, you know, 0 to 7 and stuff like that. And that's really the catch. So why doesn't everybody do it, right?
Yes.
Well, the problem is that really traditionally all the serial port cards and printer port cards really only have been manufactured as 8-bit cards. So they're going to the 8-bit slot, they haven't got the little bit extra for the 16-bit slot. And the reason is obvious. Hey, 64 kilobytes of RAM was always enough. Hey, 8 interrupts are enough, and 2 COM ports are enough. And, well, we know how all that saga goes, don't we?
Yeah.
So, look, the point is if you can get a 16-bit RS-232 card, you don't get it for the faster data transfer. People say, oh, you know, I want to run about 115 kilobits. Do I need a 16-bit serial card? No, your machine is much faster than 115 kilobits, even on an 8-bit card. But the point is it does allow you to use those extra interrupts. Now, these cards are a little bit hard to get, and to give you an idea what they're worth, you're looking about $98, including sales tax. And if you can't get one, well, you can always give me a call at, well, no, I won't plug it. Go through the rate. No, I won't.
No, plug on.
Oh, all right. My Chronica, 96998844, if necessary, as a last resort.
But don't ring in looking for technical support.
No, that's right.
Unless you've got the money. Now, look, but the point is this. Basically, if you do want to run 4 COM ports and you don't want to share interrupts, yes, you can get these 16-port serial cards and you can get around this interrupt limitation problem.
Do you know what I'm going to buy instead? I'm going to buy an Ethernet card and a router.
I think that's an excellent idea,
actually. This thing's got cash.
Now, hang on, router as in $3,000 or $5,000? Cisco.
Yes. I'm going to buy this one that looks like a stingray. It's called a Netcopia.
Yes.
And it looks like this grey stingray.
It's not so much what it does, but how it looks.
Yeah,
it looks like those stealth bombers.
It not only has to go fast, it does have to look like it can go fast. Okay, so that's basically all I wanted to talk about that. Now, there's a couple of other interesting things. Well, I think they're interesting. Now, everybody talks about modems and 28K and 14K and V34 and the new 33.6 kilobits per second and all that sort of stuff. And AT command sets and, you know, all this sort of thing. Well, if you really want to overdose on all this stuff and you're hungry and thirsty for information and nobody can help you, hey, Rockwell has a site on the net. I mean, and it is at www.guesswhat.rockwell.com.
Go Rockwell.
Is that the chip that's in the US robotics, or is that the chip that's in everything?
Well, it's the chip that's in a lot of modems, actually. That's right. But, yeah, they're the chip people. And actually, the best site to go to is www.nb.rockwell.com, which is no really big difference. I think you'll end up there anyway. But there's all the information there about their chips, about their Hayes command sets, about their firmware revisions, about this, about that. There's a Bode Man thing where you can send them some mail and ask them some awful questions. So if you want to choke on Rockwell chips, go there.
Called the Modem Doctor, which was really good.
Who's that? It must be my brother. I'm the digital doctor. He's the modem doctor.
That's like your cousin. I reckon
your cousin. Could be related, I think,
But so many people have so many problems with modems.
Absolutely, and it's amazing. I still can't understand why, because...
Look at the trumpet windsocket.
I've never had a problem with it. Mine's beautiful. Mine's beautiful as well. And I push my modems at 115 kilobits per second.
But I mean, all the people who try to connect to the internet who have problems with trumpet windsocket, like, it's huge.
I have no problems at all, folks.
I've never had a problem. I use it every day of the week.
And it's wonderful. And it's fast. And it works really good.
Under Windows 95.
Under Windows 95. No, folks.
You go away.
If I can say something about trumpet windsock, now, you're going to find this amazing, but I think Rita has a point, because I find I can't make trumpet windsock work under Windows 95.
I can.
And that's right. And two of my customers have got trumpet windsock off me and said, it works just great most of the time.
And strange.
My advice is that if you've got Windows 95, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Win 95. It doesn't really do anything that I couldn't do any other way. But if you're going to run Windows 95, forget Trumpet Windsock, go for the built-in PPP.
Yes.
It's great, and why shouldn't it be? Hey, it comes from Windows NT.
But if it's working okay, why fix it?
Because it gets faster and better.
No, it is good.
But get stuff, because certainly they just released, Netscape released 2.02 for 16-bit users.
But that's
and Trumpet Windsock under Win 95.
I'm not going to let you tell people this anymore, Duncan.
But seriously, if you're running Win 95, look, my advice, the bottom line is exactly like Rita says. No, you don't need Trumpet Windsock. If it works for you and you're happy with it, of course, stick with what works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's it, mate. Good line.
Okay.
But thank you for that installation of news information for us, technically speaking. We're almost out of time here on Bite Into on Triple R.